Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, you can find us on all the social platforms, including Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube, and iTunes. Join me, Sophie, at Soccer Diva, Amanda, at GoonaGirl 1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell, at 1 Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates. Oh, and never forget, always Arsenal. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Highbury Squad. It's that time of year where most of us are wondering, the season just got started and now we have to go on an international break. Kind of sucks. But what doesn't suck is the two folks joining the pod squad today. As ever, Amanda, hola.
Hola, how are you?
I'm sweating like swine right now. I was sick yesterday. I was sick on my birthday. So I'm really kind of in a foul mood today. So get ready.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm shame you had sickness on your birthday, but I do wish you better.
Thank you. And also joining us today is our podcast brother from another mother, Mr. Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. Hello, Casey.
Hi, Sophie. Happy birthday to you again. And I'm really unhappy that you were ill on your birthday, but we're going to make up for it, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Indeed, we are. Do you know what I think made me sick? The North London Derby made me sick. Between them and my team over here, LA Galaxy, who I look like we're going to get a point, and Zlatan heading and swifting into the playoffs, they lost 4-3. So the football, I think, gave me a virus. And my virus is called Unai Emery-titis for this week. And here's the scoop, you guys. Real quick, because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it a little differently. As you know, we love having fans on the show. We used to have a fan of the week on whenever we could last season. What I thought would be an interesting twist is to get a soundbite from an Arsenal fan and also from a Tottenham fan, right? So I'm going to play them both for you, and then I want you to comment. And it's amazing how differently we can see the game sometimes. Okay, the first up is Tottenham fan. This is David Levine, who's a good friend of the show and also an ex-producer on TalkSport, bit of a radio guru. And if I would say a Tottenham fan who doesn't see things through his rose-coloured glasses all the time. Here we go.
Hey, ladies. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Looking back on the North London derby, I think probably a draw was the fair result. The first half, I thought our game plan worked perfectly. I thought we were the more dangerous team. I thought Leno made a couple of great saves, including one from Son. And the goal just before half-time was probably what kept you in the game. After half-time, you absolutely dominated the half. Guendouzi was excellent. I still don't really get the hype about Torreira. I think he's quite overrated. I don't think he's that suited for the game in the Premier League. I think Lacazette being subbed ultimately is what stopped you from going on and winning it. I think there was a good shout for a penalty. I think if the referee gives it, I don't think it gets overturned on VAR. Harry Kane goes down very easily. He's looking for the contact. He got the contact. There were two hands in his back and a shove. I don't think it's a dive. I don't think it's necessarily a penalty. I think that whatever the referee gave, VAR would back it up. I'm surprised that Xhaka wasn't booked for his outrageous challenge for the penalty and then could have been and should have been sent off. I don't understand how he gets away with it week in, week out, not getting booked. He's one of the clumsiest players I've seen in a long time. I think ultimately a draw's fair. There was a half each. I think we shaded the better chances. Both goalkeepers were probably the men of the match, aside from Guendouzi. Looking at both of our seasons, I think we're going to both struggle to make the top four. I think out of the challengers, aside from Liverpool and Man City, that no one from Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal and Spurs are really consistent enough to make that leap. But you look at our start to the season, and had we got something out of that Newcastle game where I think we should have had a penalty, then we've gone away to City and away to Arsenal and got a point, and you would have said that, you know, that's a step in the right direction. Eriksen's still here after the transfer window, so's Vertonghen. Even if they're leaving at the end of the season, if we can get good performances out of them and Toby Alderweireld, then maybe we stand a chance. But I think we need our dressing room to calm down a bit. I think everything's been a bit unsettled. I think Arsenal, you've got the makings of a good squad, but your defence is appalling. That first half absolutely ripped you to shreds. All it took was a quick break. I'm surprised that Lucas Moura didn't come on and just run at you. David Luiz, for all his experience, is still a mistake waiting to happen. You've got a great front three. I think Pepe will come good. I think there were some germs of genius there. But you've got no defence, and your midfield is lacklustre. I think what I'd like to see is I'd like to see Emery set up his team better. He's brilliant at reading the game and making changes and turning a game round. But it seems, both last season and this season, that he doesn't know how best to tactically set up a team ahead of the game and for the start. He got it completely wrong against us in the first half. Mm-hmm. And you had to dig yourself out of a hole. You can't keep on starting two goals behind before you turn it on.
Wow. Okay, so good friend of the show, as I said, David. An amazing assessment. Amanda, I'm just going to throw it over to you first. I hope you took notes and you've got your point by point there, precious.
Well, I have to say, I agree with only one point of his, and one point is that our defence is absolutely diabolical. Apart from that, yes, David and I had a little chat on Twitter about Harry Kane's dive, and it's not an alleged dive, it's a dive. I don't care what he says, that is a dive. And when he said VAR, he wouldn't even go to VAR, because it's not even, I'm so angry that he even tried to say it was the same as Aubameyang's last year, where Sanchez actually touched his leg. Was it Socrates who nearly had his hands on him? I swear, I mean, look, I can argue to the hilt about penalties. Not in a million years. And if we would have got that, yeah, we would have taken it. Of course we would. Any team would. But I'd have been embarrassed. I hate all that diving. I've always hated it. I hated it when Perez did it. But that is a dive. Second thing, slightly agree on the first half, second half bit. Agree on Guendouzi. Do not agree on Leno being man of the match, because Guendouzi all day long. I think, for me, Guendouzi needed to come off after the first half, and I even tweeted about that. And then he became like a one-man mission, didn't he, in the second half. Xhaka wouldn't get a yellow card for the penalty, because it's double jeopardy or whatever it is now. And I don't think it was a violent tackle. Maybe a yellow card. I don't think he gets away with it every match. I think he gets booked most matches. I cannot believe I had to listen to that. It's so biased. And I love David, as you know. I was at the match. I don't even know if David was. So you three weren't at the match. And I was. And I watched a lot of what went off the ball. I don't think Tottenham were that good. I don't think they absolutely railroaded us the first half. If we'd have taken our chances, we would have won. You know, I think that once we did come at them, he's right about Emery in a way. He does turn a game around, where Wenger couldn't do that often as much as Emery does. But, and I know you want to talk about the Emery lineup. I disagreed with most of what he said, and that isn't because he's a Spurs fan, because I just disagree.
Well,
sorry,
I love
David.
It.
I love you dearly. But
here's what I love about, you know, hearing the other side, because this is going to be, we are going to be battling for third and fourth together. We're going at each other. There's Liverpool v City, as he said, and then there's the rest of us, but Tottenham and Arsenal in particular. Casey, sometimes we sit at a table with Spurs fans and they really are biased, as Amanda said. But in this case, I have to say, I do agree with a lot of what David said. Where do you see things in terms of his comments?
I agree with some of his points, but there's quite a few things that Amanda has shone the light on, which obviously I disagree with. I mean, the Harry Kane penalty was 5.45, wasn't it? I mean, let's be honest. I won't even give it that. He's England. He's England captain, isn't it? So you've got to give him.
That is a load of bollocks.
He's useless. He's useless at trying to win a penalty now. I don't know if you saw
when they interviewed him on the TV.
Yeah, I did.
And they looked at the penalty. He looked embarrassed.
He did.
Of course.
Jeff Shrees, right?
He really looked embarrassed. And players, we all know. When you see someone embarrassed, you just know, don't you? So that was one of the things. Obviously, Amanda covered a lot of the stuff. But I think it wasn't Spurs' good play that was outdoing us. It was our own ineptitude in the first half. I believe that was undoing us. The fact that we went a little bit negative in the midfield and we started off okay, but we couldn't get a grip of the game. And then they started playing long and all hell seems to break loose. Every time it broke, they seemed to be able to run through. So it wasn't no great play where you could see, you know, Spurs really outdoing us. It was just our ineptitude. And what I agree with is Unai Emery is a good adjustment man. He can see something and he knows, right, what I have to do, I have to change. And he did. He changed. Finally, he brought on Ceballos. And Ceballos made real problems for Tottenham. And that in itself showed Guendouzi really started taking over the game in the second half, especially. I thought he was immense. 20-year-old, second season, come from the obscurity in France, second division. And there he was, being the man of the match in the North London derby. I thought he was outstanding. Lacazette's finish was fantastic. Guendouzi's pass for Aubameyang was fantastic. We could have won it. Of course we could. But we could have lost it as well. So it is a matter of 2 points dropped, 1 point gained, as far as I see it.
All right, very nice from both of you on the response to David. I have to say, at the beginning of... No, last week's episode... Last week's episode, we talked a lot about who could be the hero, and we each, picked who we thought our hero could be. And I mentioned that mine and the person that I thought would win or lose us the game was Unai Emery. And I think that he did set up the team, badly. I think he's got to cut the cord with Xhaka. And as you know, I've tried to save Xhaka in some ways because there have been games where he's actually been quite important. But now, when you look at the stats, and apparently from 2016, if you guys can correct me, he has the most errors that have resulted in a goal than any other player in the Premier League. I wasn't aware that I knew that he was in the top five. I didn't realise he was the number one player. And I think that Unai Emery needs to address this now. You know, Amanda picked Joe Willock, and the young boy didn't even get a shot, did he, Amanda? He wasn't even, so many great performances.
Quite surprised, actually.
Yeah. So look, yeah. Let's wrap this up with the fan response, because the next one is a fella that we love. It's Demian. He flies the flag for Venezuela, but he also flies the flag for being an Arsenal fan here in the United States. And as you know, we got fans that listen to us from all corners of the earth. So let's hear what the Gooner has to say.
What is going on, everybody? Demian here.
Calm down, Amanda.
The Jonas Brothers. And before I get started, I want to give a shout out to Sophie and Amanda, the birthday girls. Hope you had a blast. And Kevin, whenever your birthday is, I hope you have a blast too, my friend. But anyhow, thank you all for having me. It's always a pleasure to be a part of this phenomenal podcast. It's a true honor. Now, as far as the North London Derby, like most of you, I suffered. I enjoyed it. It was frustrating and motivating and any and every adjective in between, because that's what this team has us accustomed to. But I'd like to focus on the positives if I can for a second. As far as individual performances, I thought Guendouzi was fantastic. I thought that Lacazette was excellent. And I love Torreira, so love it. Love whenever he's playing. And obviously when Ceballos came in, I thought it was an injection of ideas and good football. So I really, really enjoyed what he did. And instead of focusing on negative things or pointing out negative things, aka Shaka, but you didn't hear from me, I would say that if I were to blame anybody, I would blame Emery for picking him in the sense that if we all feel that he's prone to make these mistakes, but we keep picking him, well, it's not a surprise if he makes them. You know, it's something that we all knew could happen and would happen, and that's just what it is. So if we don't want X or Y or Z mistake, we try to avoid it at every cost. So I think team selection is massive. Now, as far as Spurs go, I wasn't too impressed by them. They didn't look to me like, you know, if we didn't look like Champions League finalists by any stretch of the imagination, I didn't think they did either. So I don't believe the hype when it comes to them. And I do think that Kane dived. So that's a whole different story. Now, as far as predictions for both teams in this upcoming season, I like to think that we are going to finish fourth. And I would like to think that we're going to make at least to the quarterfinals in the Europa League. And I got to admit, I'm not too hopeful as far as getting past that stage. But quarterfinals I'd be happy with, and fourth would be the ideal. And as far as Spurs go, in the Champions League, I'd like to think that Sophie's Greek brothers are going to stop them from getting too many points. And I'm going to make a bold prediction. I'm going to say they're not going to get out of the group stage. And as far as the league goes, I'm going to hope, not think, but I'm going to hope that they finish fifth. And before I go, I want to give a massive shout out to the Arsenal ladies and what they've been doing, obviously, the past season, this season already, beating Spurs 7-0. Just a joy to know and watch. And Daniel Van de Donk and Medima. I don't know them, but I know of them, and I absolutely love those ladies as much as the men's team. Thank you guys for having me. Love you all.
Awesome stuff there from Demian. He is actually on tour. He's the drummer for the Jonas Brothers. So I don't know, Casey, if you're a Jonas Brothers fan or Amanda, but they'll be swinging through London at some point, and I'm sure you and Demian will hook up. I don't know, Amanda may want to hook up with the Jonas Brother.
Already mentioned it to Demian. He's here in February. I've already said that I'm going to buy him a drink in the VIP lounge at the O2.
Amazing. Okay, so again, very interesting how we see, we're so tribal, aren't we, how we see teams. I think he was pretty fair, though, on both sides. Try to be positive, which, Casey, I'll come to you first on this one. That's something that you've been trying to do online. Amanda is a huge advocate of being honest, but at the same time, you know, we're all trying to be much more positive and look at the positives. Your thoughts on his comment in particular? He thought Emery got it wrong. And you mentioned, you know, that he's much better at adjusting than setting up. What do you think about Guendouzi? Because everyone saw Guendouzi as the hero in that. But his age and the way he kind of commanded the second half, why can't David Luiz and Sócrates emulate that? What is the bloody problem?
No, I thought David Luiz had a decent game. I thought,
what?
Yes, I thought David Luiz was fine. I thought Sócrates was all over the place. And I've watched the game back, especially that first goal, because that was a crucial goal. And Sócrates made two mistakes that exposed the whole back line. The first one, he went for the header when he shouldn't have. Harry Kane won the header. Fair enough. Son got the ball. So we're on our heels because there was a big gap. Sócrates getting back. What he didn't do, he didn't even check to see if there was any runners. He was just had his eyes fixated on the ball. And when it was too late, he realised when the shot come in and Leno saved it, at that moment, he realised Eriksen had just gone past him and he couldn't even adjust. He couldn't even get to the ball. So for me, he made two mistakes that exposed the whole back line, which was wrong. And that should never happen. He should always be aware of who's around him so he could close them out, say, help his mate out and protect his castle, which is the goal. So that's the first part. Second part, again, Guendouzi was fantastic, like we keep saying. But when we have experienced players like Granit Xhaka in the team, who is captain of the Arsenal football team, and he's being outplayed by a 20-year-old in the centre of the pitch. And Granit Xhaka is, I'll be honest with you, Granit Xhaka, he could have ended up getting sent off. He missed time challenges. It was. I thought he had a terrible game myself. But I'm not trying to dig him out. I'm telling it as I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, Granit Xhaka is becoming a liability because he's doing things that are actually costing us the game. If we'd gone in at halftime, 1-0 or maybe one each, we'd have beat Spurs. But the fact of the matter is, going into a hole that is 2-0 at home, we keep shooting ourselves in the foot, and it's got to stop. It has to stop. If we've got any designs on finishing in that Champions League spots, we have to cut out their mistakes, because they are basic mistakes. It's not as if it's good play by Spurs or the opposition. It's our ineptitude and bad defending and bad play that's costing us.
I completely agree 100% on everything you said. And in addition to Socrates, because I want to get Amanda's perspective on this too, because I put a poll out, I think you guys remember last week, saying that the Greek is getting away with it. Everyone keeps pointing the finger at David Luiz, and maybe I am being a bit harsh on him this week, Casey, but also a player that was immense in the game last season at the Emirates was Kolasinac, and I thought that he was pretty poor, to be honest with you, and Torreira. I think that a couple people have brought up a really good point. What the F has happened to Torreira? So, Amanda, two things. Do you think Socrates is getting away with it? Am I right on that one? And is KC right on saying that he had a worse game than Luiz? And what has happened to Torreira, who you were ready to marry towards the end of last season?
And I said to you on the pod last week that he's not fit, and there's proves my point. And he's brought him into a game where he hasn't had any match fitness. So that's my point.
Is that true? That's why he started at Liverpool.
Absolutely. But he was obviously not fit enough. But I blame Emery, and I don't blame Emery much. Let me finish. I blame Emery for putting him on in that position as well. When we're playing Spurs at home, you're not playing a lower team, are you, where he can get his fitness back? We can't afford to lose the game. We were 2-1 down. You know, we wanted to win it. So I'm steadfast on Torreira. And the people that are slagging off Torreira haven't got a flipping clue about football, I'm afraid. Because, yes, he was immense last season. I've seen people say he's not fit to play in the Premier League. I mean, what? Anyway, let's not go on that.
David just said that a minute ago, didn't he? He doesn't think he's cut out for the Premier League.
Yeah, but listen, the difference between David and Demian, right? David is a very biased Tottenham fan. Demian wasn't biased, funny enough. And I'm not just saying it because he's an Arsenal fan. If it was vice versa and Demian was very, very biased, I'd have called him out on it. And I'm very honest because I have a lot of Spurs friends and a lot of people I talk sensible football with, you know, and not one of them has said to me that Harry Kane was a penalty. They looked at me and went, well, it could have been, but he did make a meal of it and it wasn't. You know, you don't do that. If you know your player has got a stonewall penalty, you'd be going, it's a penalty. And I looked at them and I went, don't embarrass yourself. I said, I was there at the other end of the ground. I didn't even need a replay. I said, it was so embarrassing. The referee should have booked him for diving. But anyway, we're not going on that. I wanted to come in when you were slating David Luiz at the beginning. I didn't know Kev's view on that, but you are being too harsh. I thought he had a good game as well. A lot of people don't, Kev, funny enough, but I did. And I think Socrates is getting away with it. And I'll tell you why he's getting away with it, shall I? Because he's showing passion. And he's showing passion, which we've missed. But passion doesn't make you a good footballer, okay? I'll show you passion, but I'm shit at football.
Hello, sailor!
I'm useless at football. I'm not bad at like rush goalie because I used to play that at school, but no, I can't play football to save my life. But I can tell when a player can't play football as well. And I'm sorry, Socrates, and it's getting on my nerves that people are calling him Socrates because that's not his name. Socrates isn't good enough at the moment. Has he got potential? Maybe. Maybe. But we need holding back. We need Bellerin back and we need Tierney to start. We need to get them in.
Would you start Chambers? Would you start Chambers, you guys, then?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely. I don't think he can be any worse than what we've got. And I think he, as much as, funny enough, he's a complete opposite character to Socrates, isn't he? He's quite quiet in a way. I don't care. As long as they can defend, I couldn't care less what they're like. But I do feel, you're right, Sophie, he's getting away with it, but that's the reason, because of his passion. Because we want fighters. Now, Kolasinac, look, he can't cross a ball, yeah, but I quite like his passion on the pitch, you know, and he does go for it, and we do need that. Because we were all rowing in the WhatsApp group after, what I will say, and I did tweet this, is that you do not play that front three with those two or three in midfield. You have to have creativity. Otherwise, what's the point? What is the point? You needed Ozil. You needed Ceballos. You needed that creativity. We have got the most potential top three that we've had in a very good time. Pepe needs time, okay? Robert Perez did not do well for 6 months. Nor did, I mean, there was lots of players that have come to us. Henry wasn't brilliant the first couple of months. So we just need to give him a bit of time. And, you know, Bergkamp said Henry, funny enough.
No, Henry wasn't that great either. He wasn't
None of them were. But the difference was in those days, we gave time. And we were like, we willed them to do well. Pepe is going for it. There are many times when Pepe should have passed. Okay? There are many times. But what I loved, and we should credit Emery with this, he does change it, and he does change it for the better. Ceballos comes on, Guendouzi turns into the Incredible Hulk, doesn't he? It was phenomenal, the change. I didn't rate Guendouzi first half. I thought he was okay, but not to what he was second half. And me and Kev, we said this, like, we wouldn't even start him last week. So, look, all I'm going to say is he needs to tinker with that formation a little bit earlier. I'd like to see it. Having three defensive midfielders was not great at home against Tottenham. I think that's your major issue as well. And I just feel I'm a little bit different to Kev. I think being 2-0 down and getting 2-0, I don't see it as 3 points dropped. I do see it as a point going. We're 2-0 down against Tottenham. It was so important to get that goal before half-time. You could not have scored it at the most important time, if you know what I mean. And
shifting
it was
momentum,
a brilliant goal. It was, but it always is, Kev. You know that as an ex-footballer. Yeah. Scoring on half-time, because I'm telling you now, right, I was there, and the place was rocking. I loved it, yeah? But they would have been booed off. The difference that split second of that goal made, that they got cheered off, okay? The place erupted when the ref blew his whistle for half-time because Lacazette had just scored a great goal, and it changed it. And I knew, I sat there at 2-1, I knew we weren't going to lose. I thought we were going to win, actually. I thought my 3-2 prediction was going to come true. 2-2, generally, I suppose, overall was a fair result.
All right, so lots to digest there. And this game always gives us good fodder for chatting. And, you know, one of the things I think that is a tough pill for me to swallow is I agree completely with Kev. I came away from that game feeling like we lost. Because I don't think this particular Spurs team, this particular season, you know, and they've bought a couple players like Lo Celso, a lot of Spurs fans are a bit dubious about him. And Ndombele is settling in. You know, they've had their issues supposedly coming into this game like wounded animals, which I never bought into because a North London derby is a North London derby. I think that, you know, we shat the bed. And I think that we you know, showed our mental impotence again and kind of went 2-0 down, put ourselves in a hole like we did last season. Remember, we were second half Arsenal last season. And David was right about that. We can't continue to go 2-0 down and expect Lacazette and Aubameyang to dig us out of a hole. Eventually, they'll tire of it.
Sorry.
No, wait, 1 second. Yeah, go on.
Well, but if you look at the two goals, Leno was at fault, who has been great for us, and Xhaka penalty, which is what Luis did.
Leno was at fault for the first one, for sure, but it doesn't matter. You know, these mistakes in games are going to...
You can't let... They do, darling. But what I'm saying is it's not come from open play. Xhaka was a penalty. So we can't legislate for that. Our goals came from open play. So what you're saying is you felt, I know a lot of Arsenal fans felt like you. They felt like they'd lost. They did. I was the only one who seemed to think that, well, I'm quite pleased being 2-0 down to Spurs.
Do you know, in my WhatsApp group with my Spurs cousins, which I might delete at some point, I'm just saying, that when Ceballos was on the bench, they were so relieved because all week all they were talking about with me was that he was going to rip them a brand new one. And when they saw that Emery didn't start him, they literally wrote to me and said, wow, why are you showing us so much respect at home? And I think as a player as well, if you're Pepe, if you're Lacazette and you're Aubameyang and you've got Xhaka behind you and Guendouzi and Torreira, and, you know, that you can expose this Tottenham defence that has been a bit fragile too early on this season, Poch tinkering as much as Emery. I just think that it set us up with a different mindset. And it just was the worst decision Emery made. That is the one thing that I just absolutely will not defend. And I think that he needs to be really careful about tinkering. And I hope he doesn't become like Claudio Ranieri because, you know, he was forced into playing Kolasinac. And we'll get to Nacho and I want your guys' thoughts on that. But something's got to change going forward because here's our schedule, you guys, right? We got Watford after the interlull, as Amanda likes to call it. Then we've got Eintracht Frankfurt, who despite losing their best player from last season, are still going to be a difficult team to play in that group stage. I, for one, actually this season give zero Fs about the Europa League. Last year I wanted to win it. This year I don't care about it. Do you guys care about Europa League this season? Do you give two Fs or would you rather? And we had this conversation and I think you two went at it a little bit because KC, I can't remember your answer if you said you'd rather win it or whatever. But to me, I don't care. I just want to finish top four and get back in the Champions League only because of the financial aspect of it.
I just want to come back on one thing that you said. The reason he didn't, the reason your Spurs friends spoke about Ceballos was our first couple of games. He was terrible at Liverpool. So,
but that wasn't the game to start him in at Liverpool. This is where Emery got it wrong. He needs to wise up.
Yes, I know.
He needs to wise up.
I don't think, to be honest, all right, play him out of position, but the rest of it, I don't think we was as bad at Liverpool there are a few people that have said to me, he did his best with what he had against Liverpool. And I said that on the last pod. I thought he set up okay. But we'll forget that. And as I said, not many teams are going to beat them this year. But going into what you just said about tinkering and everything. Yeah, I know. I think he's just trying to work out his formation for what he thinks is going to win the game. Don't tell me he goes into games not asked. I'm sorry. He's a very passionate man. He wants to win games. Is he doing it right is another matter. Go on, Kev.
Amanda, Sophie, do you know, maybe, just maybe, Unai Emery doesn't trust the defence enough to have played that extra attacking player.
At home, against our biggest rival?
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't trust them full stop. Doesn't matter if you're home or away.
That is terrible.
Sophie, you're right, it is terrible, but if we're honest, the defence has been all over the place.
I think we would have won 4-2, Casey, if Ceballos had started.
Listen.
No, I disagree.
Hindsight, yeah. Sophie, the great thing is hindsight is something that's great. And I would have started Ceballos, you would have started him, and Amanda, you probably would have started him as well. But do you know what?
Yeah, of course I would. Yeah.
Right. He didn't pick him because he had a strategy. The strategy didn't work. And luckily, he changed it. And we actually saw what Ceballos could do in the second half, right? But this only comes back to, it's going to bring it back to the point that we keep making week in, week out, year in, year out. He's got to get that defence right. And we are waiting on players to come back. And who knows whether they're going to be right. We just don't know.
Exactly. Arsenal, they're coming back from massive injuries.
Exactly. We don't know how long it's going to take them. They might come back and they might be a loss of form and we might get worse back there. Who knows? For me, he's got to get that midfield balance right. We are too imbalanced in the centre of the pitch. Now, whether it's Guendouzi, Joe Willock, Torreira, Xhaka, who I think has, I think he's burnt a couple of bridges there now, because I think Unai Emery's looking, I can't trust you. You've got the armband and I can't trust you. You know, there's a good few players in there. Do you know, there's even argument to say, who's to say put Chambers on the right back spot and get Maitland-Niles in there who's got legs and engine. He can't do any worse than Xhaka.
One of the most overrated players in the last 2 or 3 years is Ashley Maitland-Niles. He's another one that gets away with it. And you know what? I don't blame him because he's become the jack of all trades and slowly the master of none. He's been played out of position. He's been skinned all pre-season and the entire season. He's been poor.
Because he's not a right.
You know
back,
what? Sorry, baby. Not my fault. You need to fix that, Unai Emery. Stop doing that.
Yeah, but that's not...
Chambers is actually better player. Chambers is more versatile than Maitland-Niles and has shown
well,
that.
Well, maybe that's what...
No, but look, it's just my... Saying. Don't kill me for my opinion. I'm just telling you. Ashley
Maitland-Niles... Yeah, you just said your opinion.
Is overrated.
And it's lovely. It's noted, Sophie. But there's also... You could put... At times, you could put... Callum Chambers holding midfield. He'd done it for Fulham last year. Was their player of the year. You know, there's different players. There's different permutations we could put in there.
When was the last time Torreira had a good game for Arsenal? When was the last time Torreira had a good game for Arsenal? He's been in bad form since February, March of earlier this year. Yes. Torreira ran out of steam. Don't tell me he didn't run out of steam. Torreira did run out of steam.
And why is that? Because
maybe his style is suited. Look, Sebastian Veron was one of the best midfielders in the world. Came to Man United, couldn't hack it. You know, his game's more suited to Italy, slower pace. His game's suited more to that... Okay, again, I'm just saying, I'm starting to see things in a certain way whereby we make excuses, we enable our team, and really we need to start looking at this hardcore. If Emery wants to finish top four, we need to make some tough decisions.
Should we judge Torreira when he's fit, yeah?
Judging him. He was fit in February, right? He was fit earlier this year, and he's been poor.
I don't think he was bad Feb March. But going back to that question about the Europa League, I want to win it, and I want to win every game, and I want to win. I don't know what you're saying, me and Kev. Me and Kev wanted to win it last year because we see it as a trophy and we see it as a jump into the Champions League. So I'd take fifth winning the Europa League, thank you very much. I ain't got a problem with it. You don't win nothing for coming second, third and fourth. I would like...
I would rather finish top four than get to the Europa League final and lose again. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, but that's different. You're not asking that. You're not asking that.
I don't care about Europa League. I don't want to sacrifice
players. Okay, that's fine.
And have them play that, in
that's
a...
That's fine if you don't want to. But we're not going to win the league. So that's one trophy already out. We're not in the Champions League. God knows what's going to happen in the FA Cup. So I'm happy to go for the Europa League, thanks, because it's all about winning trophies. Because otherwise we start to sound like Spurs fans. Yeah, top four. Yeah, we all mocked
that. No,
that's
not what I said. I said I'm willing to put all our eggs in. Unlike United that year, Jose put all his eggs in the Europa League basket when he realised they had no chance of finishing in the top four. And all I'm saying is... I want to make sure that the league is our priority and that we should not be playing our top players in these group stages at all. I don't care.
Okay. So the priority for me is to win trophies, yeah? And I don't really give a toss about Champions League because if we get in the Champions League, we'll be out of it as quick as we do with this defeat.
It's about the money.
I want to win.
It's about the money and what it does.
But you know what? We haven't had a bad transfer window. Yes, we need Xhaka and Mustafi, and I'm not one of these that will go ranting and screaming on social media, but Mustafi and Xhaka shouldn't be playing for our club. And hopefully, Emery will have seen how many mistakes Xhaka makes, how slow he honestly, he slows up the game.
Hold on a second.
Can I just finish? I've always tried to defend him slightly like you, yeah? Because there have been times where he has been unfairly treated. But there are times, and time again, he is giving away penalties. He can't tackle. When is he going to learn?
We've talked about him. Well, you know what? We've talked about him ad nauseum. Here's one for you. All right, Casey, I'll start with you. And then, Amanda, you can answer with the Unai Emery titis that I'm suffering from this week. And you know, yeah. I love Unai, and I've defended him, and I'm not saying like Unai out. That's all bollocks and bullshit. What I'm saying is he needs to do better, right? Why is he playing Mkhitaryan when the next day he goes to Roma on loan? Explain that bullshit to me.
I could honestly tell you, I don't know how, I don't know why. Maybe it was his last send-off in front of the Arsenal fans. Maybe it was.
Send-off? Don't let the door hit you on the way out for that one. He's been absolutely useless.
Yeah, well, I know. Right. But that's the only... for me, that's the only explanation I've got, because I would have put Reece Nelson on.
Yeah, exactly. Can I just say, though, because I tweeted about this, Arsene Wenger did that at Anfield with the Ox. He played him against Liverpool, came on and sold him to Liverpool the next morning.
Disgusting.
Right? And don't tell me Wenger didn't know. I was in the Anfield Road end with the Arsenal, and I'm going to the bloke next to me. He's going to Liverpool this week. He's definitely going to Liverpool this week. What is he bringing him on for? And I have to say, off the ball, there was lots of conversations with him and Wenger. He didn't even know where to play. He didn't even know what to do. And I mean, I saw that off the ball. I don't know if you saw it on TV, but Wenger did it. That's even more mental, sending him to a club and playing him against them. When we were like, I don't know how many nil down we were, 4-0 down, but it's just, honestly, that I never understood. I didn't, and don't tell me Emery didn't know he was going. Of course he did. But I'm sorry, Kev, you do not give a send-off. It's not Thierry Henry, right? It's not you. It's not Wrighty. It's not Adams. It's a guy that's not really performed for us. And I'm sorry.
Amanda.
If you're going to put Ozil on the bench, bring him on. What is going on with this situation?
Amanda, exactly. I just think it was a private thing with Emery, that's all. That's the only explanation I've got.
Weak. If that's the case, weak from Emery. Absolutely weak from Emery. He's got Ozil on the bench. He's got Reece Nelson. Even, you know, I mean, at that point, I would have taken Willock, whoever, other than Mkhitaryan. Yeah. Those decisions to me.
You know what, though? So, if we were 5-0 up against Norwich, right, with 10 minutes to go.
Fine.
Then I sort of, But this is, we're 2-1 down here. And it's Tottenham and we want to win it. And it's a derby. We just couldn't believe it. Well, I didn't know Mkhitaryan was going. So I just thought, well, that's a bit of an odd stuff. He's not creative. Well, what's the bloody hell's going on here? But, oh, my God. Can you imagine if we'd have all known he was going?
He's supposed to be creative.
He's supposed to
be. Oh, he's not. And you know what, Kev? I know how everyone feels about Ozil. I know you two are not big fans. And you know I am. But why put him on the bench and bring on Mkhitaryan? It doesn't make sense to me. Do you not think that Pepe, Lacazette and Aubameyang would benefit from anything Ozil does?
And we haven't really seen it yet. When we did in pre-season, it looked kind of sexy, but that was pre-season, right? And I think that, you know, Kevin and I, it's not like we don't like Ozil. We just expect more from him. And unfortunately, he hasn't shown himself to be that player in these big games. And so, you know, will he get to play with him eventually? Maybe. Again, this is why I've been hard on Emery this week. He made some fundamental errors and I think in the end cost us the game. I really do. I just think it's so easy to point the finger at the defence all the time. But like KC said, how you set up that midfield to protect that space in between the defence and the midfield, KC, you know, the manager's just got to do better than that. Klopp plays his best team all the time.
But hold on. He's got Virgil van Dijk in the back four.
No, but I'm talking about overall. Man City play their best team all
because
the time.
Because they've got brilliant players,
so we've got better players too. You know what? Right now, maybe Chambers is a better option at the back. You know, maybe Ceballos
But thinking about what Kev said, he's probably right. that he doesn't trust his defence. So we had to go with the defensive midfielders. That is the sad case of what we've come to over the years.
Yeah.
With not having a decent defence. And I'm telling you, that is why at Liverpool, I still say Emery didn't do too badly. And at, against Tottenham, and I think you're going to continue to see this, because he rates Tottenham. They're not a bad side, are they? They're not as great as last year.
They're a strong side. But, Amanda, Sophie, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you two a question? And anybody who's listening to this, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think Unai Emery knows his best 11?
100% no. Neither does Solskjaer, neither does Lampard, which is why we three are going to struggle. And in the early part of this season, Klopp knows his best team, Pep knows his best team, Chelsea, Man United, even Tottenham and Arsenal do not know. And that is that is always the biggest headache for a manager. You come into the season, you do pre-season, and you don't know who your best 11 is. I'm sorry. And you know what? The other thing too is Emery the type of manager that improves players? And you know what I mean about this, right? We've seen Pochettino improve players. We've seen Pep improve players. We've seen Klopp improve players. Has Emery improved any of our players? I would say no.
I want to say to you that I do think he knows his best 11. I don't think they're fit yet, all of them. And I think he plays game by game. Do not, Sophie, compare us, United and Chelsea, to City or Liverpool.
No, we're talking about fundamental football. Well, I'm not comparing talent. It's fundamental football management is what I'm talking about.
Liverpool and City, every position they've got strength. In every single position. We do not have that, nor the United and nor the Chelsea. That's why
Amanda,
there's lots of thinking going on.
It's about understanding who those players are to play
in
those positions.
Yes, and we have got a defence that is not good enough. You give me Virgil van Dijk. You give me Salah in our team. And you give me, I don't know, Henderson, whoever's in there.
You're comparing talent, not what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying we have the talent they do. I'm saying our manager doesn't understand what the talent that he has is the best talent. And that, after a year and however long, is...
Okay, I disagree.
...is wrong.
No, I disagree. I think he knows
what he's got. Casey, do you agree or disagree with that? You asked the question. What's your answer?
I don't think he knows his best 11. Because forget the lads that are injured. He's got to pick the best 11 players now.
Yeah, but don't you think
he's
did
got to
for
know
Liverpool?
His best 11 now, and I don't think.
But do you
he
not
knows
think he
best
did?
11.
But don't you think he did for Liverpool? Don't you think he picked his best 11?
No, I don't.
Who would you have played different?
I would have played Torreira. I would have started Torreira 100.
But he's not fit, Kev. He's not fit. So we can't play
Amanda. You can play Torreira for 45 minutes or an hour. You've got to get...
And what about...
That's the only way he's going to get fit.
Well, maybe he wasn't fit enough for 45 minutes to an hour at Anfield. Maybe now the game with Tottenham, maybe now we'll see him a bit more. I'm not specifically going on about Torreira. I'm just saying, I think he does know his best 11 when he's got them fit. I do. But...
Willock is one of our best players right now, and he didn't
play. But
he
didn't think he would do a job in midfield against Tottenham, did he?
Absolute.
Hold on a second. I didn't expect Tottenham to play as badly as they did on Sunday. I really didn't. I thought they were very average, okay? So maybe he set up wrong, but he changed it. Because then he realised he could bring Ceballos on. Because they weren't that good in midfield. I don't think they were that good.
He didn't even play Lacazette against Liverpool. That's a mistake.
Yes! Oh,
and then he brings him on with 9 minutes left. Fundamental football management.
And I will say again what I said on that pod. We do not know about their fitness levels. We do not know. I'm just going to...
Don't be on the bench.
I'm not going to say it again.
Play him for 45 minutes and take him off.
Maybe 45 was too long, Kev.
No,
listen, you know all these. You know it's different now, Kev, to when you were playing. It's so different, and you know all these analytics they've got and stats and heat maps and everything.
Let him speak.
Amanda, football is football. I don't want to listen. If you're on the bench, let me just tell you this. If you're on the bench, right, you are on there, and if there's an injury in a position and you have to come on, you can't tell me you're fit for less than 45 minutes. Nonsense. That is wrong.
Okay, so why did he bring Lacazette off on Sunday with 10 minutes to go?
He brought him off because he's done 80 minutes. That's why.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's 80 minutes.
Because he's trying to get him fit. He's trying to get him match fit, isn't he?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but Amanda...
Because he's carrying something, Lacazette.
Hold on. If he's trying to get him match fit, he's got to play him. And then
but he did play him. He played him for 80 minutes.
Yeah,
and that's
but
what he
never played him at Liverpool.
Maybe he was, I know, darling, but maybe he wasn't ready at Liverpool. That's all I'm saying. A week makes a lot of difference. We don't know. We're all surmising. We all wanted Lacazette to play at Liverpool. When he wasn't, we were like, why are you bringing him on for 9 minutes?
Yeah,
well, maybe
exactly.
That nine... I don't agree with that. I don't think 9 minutes was... It was wrong. It felt wrong. Don't bring him on at all. You don't
especially
do that.
Especially after going 2-0 down so early in the second half.
I thought that was embarrassing.
If you wanted to get back in that game, you change
it. It was embarrassing. I was. But maybe we're not party to everything, Kev. I've always thought that.
Listen, and I know we're not party to everything, but there is a way how to do this. Now... We are the Arsenal, aren't we? We are the Arsenal.
Yes, we are, Casey.
Right. So if we go 2-0 down at Anfield, you bring on another danger man because we got to get back into the game. That's what I'm saying. And it's still less than 45 minutes, but you give him 35 minutes, Lacazette.
Yeah.
What he didn't is give him 9.
And
that don't make sense to me.
And KC, Reece Nelson, again, on the bench at Liverpool, didn't get a chance to come on. He brought on Mkhitaryan again. And I think he brought on Mkhitaryan for Guendouzi with 4 minutes to go. Brings on Lacazette in the 81st minute. Brings on... I mean, you know, these are poor decisions. They're poor. Joe Willock, Guendouzi, Reece Nelson earned their stripes to be in this team. I think they earn their stripes. Don't you guys think they earn their stripes? Why doesn't he trust them? Why is he going with a failed system? Our team collapsed at the end of last season. The Xhakas of the world. You know, the Socrates of the world. You know, they absolutely collapsed. And then when Tierney isn't going to come back until October and Kolasinac has been through like a life-threatening situation, we let Monreal go to Spain for like tuppence. Explain
yeah,
that
but
one.
You know what? I think it was the only chance of getting something for him.
And what was something we got, Casey?
Yeah, I know it's tuppence, but the guy wanted to go, so they done the business. Because what it seems like to me, Arsenal are clearing the decks. They're clearing the decks, and they're creating that space for wages. So this is all part of the plan. Yeah, we might be a little bit short, but you know what? Maitland-Niles could always play left back.
There we go, the jack of all trades again.
Chambers could play right back. Mustafi can play right back. He's going to have cover. He's going to have enough there to get by until January.
Amanda, did he just say the M-word? Did you hear Kevin?
I know. I was just thinking. I nearly started to get nauseous.
Yeah.
Kev, listen to me. My blood pressure isn't good.
And you know what? Whether we like it or not, he ain't going anywhere. He's back part of the squad now because he never left. And
well,
I don't ever want to see him in the centre back position.
No.
But could he play fullback? Of course he could.
I don't even want to see him on the pitch playing for us, but we might needs must might be in the next few months.
Europa League, he might have to play.
Yeah, the Carabao Cup. Carabao, what do you call it?
The Carabao.
I call it the Haribo Cup.
Yeah, Miranda Cup, I like to call it. Right. Wow. Okay, good stuff, you guys. Excellent stuff. Now, here we go into the international break, which is so annoying, but... Do you feel like it may have come at a good time for us or a bad time? I think last season, you know, we had the loss to Chelsea, the loss to City. We had another win, I think. Then the interlull came, a couple wins, and then we went on the break, and then we came back and we went on that run. Run, Forest, run, which was amazing. We have some kind fixtures when we get back. I think we play Watford. Well, let me loosely say that. Watford are rubbish, right? And we have suffered against some of these teams, got a little better at beating them in the early part of last season. Good time or bad time for the interlull? KC?
I think it's a good time. The likes of Pepe and Torreira can go away and they could get some football, get some more minutes in their legs and come back. And then, obviously, we've got a lot of players away on international duty. Get them back and get them ready for the Watford game, because I think that's going to be really important to win now, especially after, you know, dropping points at home to Spurs.
Yeah, and like you said on last week's pod, man, if we can win this game, we'll be 5 points ahead of them, you know. And it was this is why it felt like a loss, because it felt like we could start building that gap. Amanda, good time or bad time for the break?
See, I see it as a little bit different to you two, because we were 2-0 down and we got a draw. So the momentum, you know, they fought back and I think their confidence would have been a little bit better because of that. No, I thought it was a bad time, really. We don't need a break yet. We've only played about 3 games and we are 4 games. And I will say something. When you say fixtures that are kind to us, we've never... no fixtures are ever kind to us. So every game, I feel like...
We beat
like
some poor teams, though,
now.
Didn't we, on that run? I mean,
yeah, we did have that run for... We did, but I don't think we'll do that run again. I think that all I'm hoping is we keep in the pack and we win the Europa League. That's what I'm hoping for this year, because you've got Chelsea, United and us. None of us are really that good. You know, City and Liverpool is just going to become like Rangers and Celtic for years on end, wasn't it? It's what it's going to be like. You know, I don't even think that... I couldn't even call it between them two. They'll just go head to head and it'll be between the three of us constantly. I mean, listen, you want to talk about United here.
So hold on a minute, Amanda. Where's Spurs in all this then?
Sorry. I mean, us, Spurs, United and Chelsea, you know, are going to be fighting it out for 2 places.
Are we better than them? Are we better than them, Amanda?
I think we're all the same, if I'm honest. I think we'll all have moments. I think we're better than United. I do think on our day, we're better than United. Better than Tottenham? Probably not, when they're on their day. Chelsea, I've got no clue what's going on there. I'm a little bit concerned about David Luiz, and obviously, you know, the ref that comes on the pod has had a long chat with me for many, many conversations about David Luiz, and he is an accident waiting to happen as well. I'm concerned about that, because what we saw at Liverpool was really unprofessional, and I know you think, Kev, it was, what did you call it? Because I was listening to your show today and you spoke about this.
It's an instinctive pull.
Yeah, that's it. And I know Lee disagreed and I disagree.
Totally
stupid. I don't think it's instinctive. And I think Xhaka, two of them, are prone to this. And I don't need any more in my team. We've got Xhaka and that's enough. So I agree with you, Katie, that I thought Luiz did have a decent game on Sunday. And I do feel his experience will outweigh that. So I'm going to pass judgment later on.
All right, let me ask you this then, in a way when we're talking about the rest, the best of the rest, right? Chelsea are playing a lot of youth, right? And that comes with a cost, okay? And I don't think Lampard has much of a choice also because of what's happened to them in the transfer market. A lot of the times before the season started, there was this talk of Everton, who I don't think will get into the top four. Excuse me. Marco Silva is probably one of the most overrated managers in the last 2 years in the Premier League. Wolves, who I don't think are going to be the same team. They'll suffer the same way Burnley did when Burnley got in Europa League. I think you can see it's already worn on Wolves a little bit. Then that leaves this team called Leicester City that have gone about their business pretty quietly. I think they're sitting in third right now. Do you think it's too soon to say, do you think Leicester are on a par right now with Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea, maybe Tottenham?
At the moment, At the moment, you could say that.
Very
at
early,
the moment,
isn't it?
Because, you know, they're playing with a lot of energy. They're playing with a lot of quality at the moment. And, you know, they've had some good results sitting third in the table. But we've seen it before. We've seen it before. Teams start well. But it's a long old season. And cream always rises to the top. They're a couple of injuries away from falling into obscurity, let's be honest. Because if anything ever happened to Jamie Vardy or Madison in midfield, they're in trouble.
Or Tillemans.
I think Madison and Vardy are the two creators and finishers, you know. Tillemans is a very good player, don't get me wrong, and they're missing. But I think they've missed the other two a bit more.
Can I just bring up, I was watching the Sanchez interview, because he's gone now, isn't he? Has he gone to another club?
Yes, he's at Inter Milan.
Sorry, because I haven't caught up with that, but I saw his little interview about how diplomatic he was about United, how much he loved Arsenal, and then he said, at United, I just wanted to play, but they didn't want to play me. It was so funny, and I looked, and he was talking, and the interviewer actually said to him, but you didn't do very well at United. You know, you didn't play your game where you did for your international team. And he said, but I was happy at my international team. So you can tell there straight away that was the biggest mistake he's made. And also, I just want to bring this up because this is great. The spat between Alan Shearer and Michael Owen
on social media. This is fantastic.
How brilliant is this? I mean, as a fan, watching this go on. I mean, Kev, would you not be
I don't like to see it.
Oh, come on.
I know you
don't, because
you're like, nice. We're not ex-players, Kev.
It's great for people who ain't played football. It's great.
Yes, exactly.
Because you start to get an insight into how people feel and the way they are.
Who do you think's coming off worse, you guys? Who do you think's coming off worse, Owen? Or I know we're going to wrap things up, but real quick, seeing as Amanda brought it up, because it is epic viewing. Who do you think's coming off worse?
I think Owen is. But I also would say just something. What it does show you is how much Alan Shearer loves Newcastle. This would be like, I don't know, Kev or Tony Adams defending Arsenal, because when Owen went, I was so miserable there. And then Alan Shearer comes out and goes, you're on your 120 grand a week. You know, Newcastle deserved better. And they did, you know. And it just shows how much he does. He's Mr. Newcastle, isn't he, as such?
Listen, but I was defending Arsenal when Koscielny done that disgraceful act. I ain't having that.
No, I know. But also, you know, you're very diplomatic, because when everyone went for Paul Merson, you tried to explain that it was his opinion and it, whether you agreed or not. But we're not ex-players, me and Soph, and we love this. It's like watching a soap opera. I know it probably makes you feel very uncomfortable as an ex-player, but we're not. I'll tell you something, I couldn't wait for the next segment. I kept reading it on Twitter. It was brilliant. Because the thing is, to me, Owen is not in tune with the fans. He's not. I mean, to go from Liverpool to United's bad enough, isn't it? You know, anyway.
Didn't someone also come out and say that no one wanted to play with him at Real Madrid? I read that today. Like, even when he was at Real Madrid, no one really wanted to play with him. You know, he was the boy wonder, Casey, for so many years, and he had this. But in the end, Michael Owen sounds a bit like a teddy bear with a shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, look, how it's coming across, I don't even read it anymore. After I saw the first exchanges, I just knew it was going to go, it's going to get nasty. I don't like it. Look, people are going to see the real players now. They're going to see the real characters coming out. Because that's what happens when you're having, you know, you're having a battle with another player. The real side comes out. So
one of
I
the
don't
best
know who's looking facts. Worse than who, but, you know, it's a lot of people going to take their sides. They're going to take their sides.
Yeah, cool.
You know, that's it.
But the best fact on Twitter is definitely Gary Lineker and Piers Morgan. It just goes on and on and on. It is. It's brilliant. And, yeah, I just find it so funny. And I do find that Gary Lineker's humour, as much as, I mean, we've had him on this pod before, not when you was on, Kev. And he's actually quite funny. He's dry. And the way he's just so sarcastic, I quite like that. I don't really particularly like him as a pundit on Match of the Day, but I do quite like his written humour, if you know what I mean. Anyway, let's move on.
He can be a bit up his own Jaxie, to be honest with
you. Anyway.
And a teddy bear. And a teddy bear. No, he can. He's a very, he's being a bit self-righteous, too political for me, and I don't like that. If you want to talk about not liking something... I don't like all the politics. I just think sometimes we need to park that when we're talking, you know, about football and stuff. Right then. So here we are, a little bit of time off. And although we may come back, we've got so much to say. We may be back next week. We'll let you know on the old Twitter sphere. We come back to play Watford. Going to be a tough game for us. How many of our players are playing or will start or will play? I hope a lot of them will just be wrapped up in cotton wool. And Amanda, a teddy bear with a shotgun is someone who comes across... I think Lionel Messi's a teddy bear with a shotgun. Comes across all sweet and like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Yeah, okay. But behind the scenes, bit ruthless, innit? Eh?
That's a bit like me. Except I'm not really a teddy bear.
Oh, good stuff.
A grizzly bear with a bloody shotgun.
Grizzly, there you go.
That's up you.
Amazing. Well,
grizzly bear. Give you grizzly bear. Right, we need to do predictions. So what are we going with?
No,
we don't.
For what? What are you talking about? Prediction.
The game's not till...
I'm going to a game. I'm going to the Runcorn Radcliffe game. Yeah. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, hold on a second. We might not be back before the next game. We might not.
No, we will.
We're
going to
be on before. 15th. Don't worry.
Come on. It's only the 3rd of September. 4th of September. Yeah. The next game's not till the 15th.
I predict that we're all going to fall out in the WhatsApp group at least twice before then.
All right.
100%. Fine, we're falling out already. We're falling out after this.
No, because you're going to Radcliffe. I hope they win.
Well, yeah, listen.
Listen, I've got Shirley waiting for me.
All right, you go do your thing, Casey.
Oh, my lovely Shirley. Yeah. Hello.
All right, leave the nice
ones. Look after yourself, ladies.
All right, take care, Casey. Yes.
Take care.
Casey's going to hang up. He's got to go to a game.
Yeah.
Amanda and I will also be hanging up. Thanks so much, as always, for listening. If there's one thing that this pod gives you is honest convos. And here's the great thing, like KC sometimes says about teams, you'll have an argument with someone, they'll grab you by the neck, put you up against the wall, say play better, do better, or that was amazing, and then you move on. And that's a bit like the Highbury squad, Amanda.
Yeah, it is.
What were you doing? What were you doing there? You sounded like you were texting someone and not paying attention.
No, I'm not. It's the weirdest thing because I'm not recording it on my laptop. I've just sat on my sofa.
Amazing.
It's weird. I'm normally at my desk on my laptop, but as we know, it didn't work.
Did your plumber leave?
You leave my plumbing alone. Thank you. Yeah, so now I'm going to see my son who started sixth form today.
Oh my God,
do I feel old. I tell you, being 35 and a son that's sixth form, honestly.
That's amazing. You know, listen, I mean, you were young when you had him.
I was 34 when I had him, bless him. Love of my life. And then other loves of my life. Better do well against Watford. That's all I can say.
Yeah, we got plenty of time to build up to that one. And hopefully the defence would have grown some cojones before then. Without further ado, thank you to David and to Demian as well. Really appreciate you guys getting stuck in with us. And
I reckon you won't be speaking to me again.
Well, probably not, but that's okay.
We've already railed on Twitter about it.
At the end of the day, there's only one thing to say, and that is...
Always Arsenal!